Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous is a holy way, and it is a way that tends to true happiness. Holy and happy are the people of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The happy man. Who in this life does not want to know happiness? People spend their whole lives in the pursuit of happiness. We hate to think of our days as unfulfilled or as wasted years. We want to be happy. Some, in order to that end, throw themselves into their work. They become workaholics. They seek to make a great living, perhaps, so that they may obtain those things that make up the stuff of this life. A nice home, fast car, vacation every year. Those things that they see as making them happy. They think by gathering to themselves riches, they will know that joy. Others seek a loving relationship, perhaps, a suitable partner, a husband or a wife, a stable home environment where they can raise a family. And yet others pursue education, learning, scholarship, scholarly achievements, looking for that recognition among their peers. Some seek to be entertained, live for sport, live for recreation and leisure. Many of these things, indeed all of these things, may be legitimate in their place. And men and women pursue these things in that unending quest for happiness. Who in this life does not want to be happy? Who knows the recipe to life and happiness? Psalm 34:12 asks the question, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good?" Naturally, we desire life. Life over death. We want to live, to see many days, and to see good. We all want to be happy. But what is the secret to blessedness, the recipe to happiness? Well, it really is no secret at all. God has told us the way in His Word, the Bible. He gives us that direction that leads to, that tends to, our happiness, not only in this life, but in the life to come. That eternal joy and well-being. And real happiness in life, true love, having light and wisdom, is found in Jesus Christ. There's no secret about the way to happiness. Knowing the God of life and love and light secures peace and joy. The sum and substance of the whole psalm is this. As Calvin said, they are blessed who apply their hearts to the pursuit of heavenly wisdom, whereas the profane despisers of God, although for a time may reckon themselves happy, shall at length have a most miserable end. And there is this contrast here between the godly and the ungodly, the righteous and the unrighteous, their character and their condition. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of God. There is this knowledge of God. And did not the Lord Jesus Christ himself say in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's that knowledge of God that makes a man happy. Now, you may know many things. You may make many attainments, many achievements. You may accumulate all those things that your heart desires. You may accumulate great wealth. You may achieve scholarly status. You may have a loving home environment. You may have all these things. And yet you may still not know the one thing necessary for real living. One thing is lacking. You know nothing as you ought to, because you still do not know the one thing necessary to true living before God. And that is life in Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge. The knowledge of the holy, that is understanding. Knowing God, that reverential trust in God. If you do not have that, you do not know anything as you ought to know. Your knowledge is partial. Your knowledge is fragmented. Whatever acquisitions you may make in this life, in science, politics, literature, you may know Jane Austen inside out, Shakespeare. You may know history. You may know the arts. You may make great discoveries in science. Whatever acquisitions you may make, if your heart is not in a right state before God, if your heart depart from the living God, you abide an ignorant man or woman. You know not God. He who in his heart says, "No God," is a fool. However wise he may be in the estimation of himself and in the estimation of the world, he does not know God. Knowledge of the holy, that is understanding. The knowledge of God is the root of all knowledge. But natural man does not see that. He's living for self, for pleasure, for today, for the moment. Consumed with his own things, not realizing that he was created by God, for God, to live unto God. The natural man, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive or understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And yet, what does it profit a man or a woman? No, he or she gain the whole world and have many achievements and attainments and yet lose their own soul. To have all that this life has to offer and never know God is to abide in darkness, to abide in death, dead in trespasses and in sin, not knowing life and true happiness. To enjoy the things of this life only and have no hope for eternity is a miserable existence indeed. The knowledge of God. The Christian has that knowledge and that lasting hope and that joy that is found in Christ. This is life. Life eternal. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. He shall stand in the congregation of the righteous, because the Lord knows him and he knows God. In other words, the happy man is a justified man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous or the just. The way of the ungodly shall perish. A happy man is a justified man. There is that blessing of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. The blessedness of sins forgiven, of having a standing before God, being accepted in the Beloved. He's not like the ungodly. He's not under the law as a curse or a condemnation, but his delight is in the law of God after the inward man. He takes God's law and God's word to be the rule of his life. His delight is the result of meditation upon it. And to think of God's deliverance from sin, being justified by faith in Christ, declared righteous and accepted before God only because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that's joy. To think on Christ as your Savior brings fresh love and devotion. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. The benefits of justification, acceptance with God, of being declared righteous, though you feel and know and sense your infirmities, your weakness, your sinfulness, your frailty, your diseases, yet in Christ you're accepted with God. He covers all your sin. And you have no other standing before God. There's no other way of acceptance. There's no other way of salvation. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. Your delight is in Christ the Savior. Your inward man has been renewed and you are justified, accepted. You will stand in the congregation of the righteous. Those benefits bring peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That assurance of salvation, the witness of His Spirit that you are a child of God. Blessed is the man. The word here, the expression is one of joyful acclamation. Blessed is the man. Oh, the blessednesses. Oh, the happinesses of the man. The benefits that he enjoys because he knows God. There's no condemnation. He's happy because he's justified, and therefore there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The ungodly are not so. Like the chaff which the wind driveth away, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. But for the child of God, there is peace. They're accepted. No condemnation in Christ. Christ is our mediator. You notice the godly man's description here in verse 3. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." He shall be like a tree planted, not a wild bush, but a tree planted. Handpicked, set in place, fertilized, cultivated, watered. A tree planted is well cared for. And God cares for His people. We are like trees planted in His sight, tended to, watered, fruitful in due season, flourishing under the care and guidance of God as we delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. As we follow His way, as we meditate upon it day and night, so we shall be like trees planted, growing, fruitful, flourishing in the Lord, planted in Christ. Rooted and grounded in Him, we have a sure standing. And He cares for us as His people. Sometimes He must prune us as His branches. But He cultivates the tree planted. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 tells us, "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Happy man is a justified man, accepted with God, no longer under condemnation, like a tree planted. You compare that word with Matthew 15 and the verse 13, where Christ said, He answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." The godly are not so. They're like that tree planted. And until a man or a woman knows Jesus Christ as his Redeemer, Savior, he or she will not know eternal happiness and real joy. This is life. It's found in Christ, the Mediator, the only Redeemer of God's elect. That does not mean, however, that Christians will never have perplexing problems, never be anxious or sad. Nor does it mean that they walk around with false joy or they walk around with a cheesy smile constantly. While in this body, in the flesh, we have trials, we have afflictions, they will be ours. But it does mean that that happiness the Christian knows in Christ is unaltered by the circumstances of life, because our standing before God remains the same. Our trust is in the Lord, in Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's Him we're accepted. Our acceptance is not dependent upon our feelings, our emotions, our works. It's what Christ has done. And He remains the same. And so we can have that deep joy within, even though we're experiencing trials without. We can know that peace in the midst of the storm, because God is with us. And we can prosper in this way. I think of John's prayer for Gaius, that he would prosper and be in health, even as his soul prospered. Though he was afflicted in body, it would seem, yet he knew that spiritual prosperity. Though there are those outward afflictions, it's more important that the inward man is renewed day by day after the image of Christ. The things that we face are but our light affliction compared to eternity. They are but for a moment in light of eternity. And we have that to look forward to as the people of God. And when you think of the Psalms often express joy. There is the voice of joy, the expression of joy. And so you have the title of the book of Psalms, or the book of praises. The Psalms are the voice of joy. The Psalms are very helpful as we come to worship the Lord. They assist us in praise. They assist the memory and draw us to think upon the things of the Lord, meditating upon Him. They excite holy affections. We are taught the way of the Lord. We're given for our direction. The Psalms are of a great benefit to the child of God. They're worthy of our study. Every experience, every emotion we face and know in this life, we can find in the Psalms a joy, the voice of joy. But that is not all. You think of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the writer of many, many psalms. David was continually tried, agitated, attacked by friends, by enemies. His life was not a bed of roses. He was not exempt from trial. Nevertheless, in all, he found refuge for his soul in the Lord. He called on the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. That was his abiding comfort and joy. Though now for a season you're in heaviness through manifold trials and temptations, rejoice. That was his experience. He could rejoice in the Lord in the midst of those things. And all those things liable to disturb our peace. The fears, the doubts, the griefs, the sorrows, the perplexities of life, whereby we are agitated, we can lay them before God. We can come to His throne. And how much better it would be for us, how much happier we would be, how relieved we would be if we would bring our burdens to the Lord and lay them at His feet and know that relief. If we would only resort to Him more often. But we don't. We take it upon ourselves to resolve our problems. But David, he went to the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And that is the Christian's peace. We have this free access to Almighty God. To come before Him. To enter into communion with God. Into His presence with joy, bringing our petitions unto Him, setting our needs before Him. All those things that disturb our inward peace, our grief, and our trials. The Lord is able to help as we come to His throne to find grace to help in the time of need. We have and we enjoy this free access to God and communion with Him. Why? Because we are justified. Justified man is a happy man. And so the course of providence may be dark and mysterious to the believer at times. But throughout all, the believer is assured of comfort. The direction of God as he seeks the Lord, he will be found. Trusting in God, the believer is given that peace. And unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. Those who trust in the Lord need not fear. Though a host encamp against us, though the earth be removed, they may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And as Proverbs 1:33 tells us, "Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet." There's that quietude of the soul. Quiet from fear of evil. Blessed is the upright man. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is he whose sins are forgiven. He's not only a justified man, but the happy man is one who keeps up a habit of communion with his God, delights in his law day and night. There's the blessing of communion with God, of submitting to His guidance and to His Word. And the experiences of the psalmist are of great use to us for our direction, for caution, for encouragement. The psalmist often tells us the things that pass between his soul, between him and his God. The things that he brought to God. The deep things of his heart that were troubling him. He brought them to the Lord, and we have an insight into that. And we see how the Lord helped. How he expected that help. Likewise, how the Lord will help and graciously accept us as we come to Him with those cares and those concerns. Coming into communion with the Lord. Delighting in the law of the Lord after the inward man. Meditating, thinking upon the things of God. And so what are the reasons? The reasons we are often unhappy. The reasons why we're unhappy are clear here. If you do not keep up that habit of communion with God, meditation on His Word, intercession and prayer, you're not going to be happy. Isn't it often the way with us? When we leave off those things that are necessary to the Christian life, leave off the Word and prayer, we become agitated. Let's confess it. Cranky, frustrated, impatient. It's true of me. I know it. I know it's true of you as well. Frustrated and agitated. Not satisfied. Because we're not finding our satisfaction in communion with God. We become disinterested because we're so absorbed with other things. The things of this earth, the stuff of life that we think will make us happy. But does not. And we're not in the habit of keeping up communion with God, meditating on His Word. We become so busy we have no time. No time for prayer. We're running to this activity and that activity. And the general things of life. And we do not give that proportion of our time to the Lord that is necessary for our growth in grace and in the knowledge of Him. Because we do not come to the Lord in prayer, we do not commit our way unto the Lord. We're not bringing the necessary things of this life to the Lord. And therefore we're not happy because we're trying to survive in our own strength, leaning upon the flesh. Not submitting our way to the Lord, bringing the burdens of life to the Savior. Where we find relief. But rather than seek the Lord, rather than call upon Him alone and be honest and frank with Him and open up our hearts to Him and the deep things that are troubling Him, us, bringing those to Him. We talk to all and sundry. We seek advice from this one or that one. We talk to this one about the problems of our life, and we never seek the Lord. We let the whole world know how we're feeling for the day by putting it on Facebook. Our moods, our emotions. The things that bother us, and we never go to the Lord. How sad it is that we spend more time surfing. And updating Facebook rather than seeking the Lord. How can we expect to know the joy of God if we're not seeking Him? Your walk is not what it should be. You've wandered from the Lord, left your first love. You've turned to bypass meadows. It's the grass is always greener syndrome. We're looking for something to satisfy. You won't find it in the things of this world. There must be that return to your Father. You must come to your senses like the prodigal and return to the Father. Because that pursuit and after those vain things, beholding vanity and wickedness, the psalmist says, Psalm 119, beholding vanity and wickedness is to be defiled and polluted and corrupted. When you fill your mind with vain things, when you come home at the end of the day and spend your night sitting before the television set, taking in the filth and the garbage that is on there, how can you expect to be blessed of God? You're not going to enjoy the Lord. You're not going to prosper spiritually. Your soul will not be in good health. You want to know peace and contentment and joy in this life? Seek the Lord first. All these things will be added unto you. There must be that separation from the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's separation from the world and from sin. He departs from evil and he cleaves to that which is good. And that is what tends to true happiness. The righteous soul ought to be grieved and vexed by the wickedness around. So often we're not shocked and disgusted by the things we see, when we should be. We're absorbed with those things. We become disinterested in the things of Christ. The devil has his way, and we become defiled by evil. The godly man, the happy man, that he may avoid evil, utterly renounces the companionship of evildoers and will not follow them in their wicked ways. Remember your relation to God, your responsibility to Him, that solemn sense of duty, that conscientious sense of your duty to Almighty God, who owns you, who's bought you, purchased you by His blood. The reasons you're not happy, not keeping up communion with God, so busy, no time for God. Your walk is not what it should be. You're not living a separated life. Perhaps the very reason why you are not happy and remain unhappy is because you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never known Christ. You're filled with guilt and shame and remorse perhaps over your sin. You seek pleasure, you seek happiness, you gather to yourself only to taste time and time again of the bitterness of sin, the sourness, the misery that sin brings. Sin's empty promises, promising you the moon and promising you the world, leaving you bankrupt, ruined. In your misery, you still stand before God, unclean. You're condemned. The condemnation of God is on the unrighteous, the ungodly. They shall not stand in the day of judgment. How can you be happy about that? It's a dreadful thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You're unhappy because you do not know Christ as your Savior. You've never been delivered from your sin. Sin always robs you of real joy and results in disaster, eternal ruin. You need to know the blessedness of sins forgiven. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose sins are forgiven, whose transgression is covered. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all your sin. To know Christ is to know life. You have in this great psalm, the preface of all psalms, justification, communion, separation? Do you also have that holy vindication? The ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. You must flee to Christ. Flee from the wrath to come. Escape for your life. God, the righteous judge, will judge in righteousness. And the very things that seem so important to you, that you put so much stock in this life, that take priority in your life, will all disappear one day, will be burned up, consumed. God is a consuming fire. And you will discover that they're not really all that important in light of eternity at all. They're nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. God has set eternity in your heart. You know, for God has created you this way, that this life is not all there is. There is more. There is a life to come. The only way to know that joy, that happiness, is in Christ. Saved by the grace of God. Satisfied in Christ. Accepted in the Beloved. Delighting in the law. Saturated in the Word. Situated safely, securely in Christ. Situated by the waters of life. Growing in grace. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? All men naturally love life. Death is an evil in itself. But who is there that does not desire life? Our natural desire is to live and to live long, to enjoy many days. This is life. Many days, eternal life, abundant life in Jesus Christ. Life spent in the service of God is a life greatly blessed indeed. It's the greatest blessing of all. And I trust today that you would trust in Him, know Him, and therefore know the life of God in your own soul. That forgiveness of sins, that peace with God, that assurance of salvation, that joy in the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today.